Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
A lot of complicated feelings on Trump.
Yeah.
There's a weird history between the two of us.
Megyn Kelly, may she rest in peace. She's sort of making a career by pretending she likes me.
The more you fire at him, the bigger he gets. It's not even about him anymore. No. It really is about saving America.
But so many Hollywood stars have zero, possibly less, sense of humor about themselves.
Robert De Niro out there saying what a disgusting character Donald Trump is and how he could never play him. The guy played Al Capone.
Do you worry about what might happen in America if the attempt to stop Trump running turned out to be successful?
There will be riots, Piers. There are going to be riots in America either way.
It kind of summed up her ineffectiveness as a vice president.
Because she's about the worst representative we could have. I'm sorry, she's too dumb.
Dylan Mulvaney makes a mockery of women.
I don't know that Dylan's getting off dressing like a woman. I think Dylan is exploiting. He's rolling in dough, Piers. That empathetic nature, especially held by females, was exploited to a place that ironically wound up endangering us. They wanted to whip out their penises and have us not object.
America's obsession with Where's Kate was relentless. Celebrities like Kim Kardashian and Blake Lively joked about her whereabouts. Even the White House commented on photoshopping images. When the truth was finally revealed about the Princess of Wales cancer diagnosis, some people at least had the good grace to apologise. Blake Lively took to Instagram to say, I'm sure no one cares today, but I feel I have to acknowledge this. I made a silly post around the Photoshop fails frenzy, and oh man, that post is me mortified today. Well, joining me now is Megyn Kelly, the host of The Megyn Kelly Show, available on YouTube and Sirius XM. Megyn, great to see you.
Great to be here. How are you?
Tell me, first of all, how you are about all this royal stuff. It seems to have been a relentless roller coaster, but I'm British. This is my royal family, my monarchy. I have a certain perspective on it from there. What is yours like watching all this from across the pond?
Well, I come into it a little, you know, from a different angle. First of all, I'm American, so I'm, you know, Team America. But once I go across the pond, I'm Team Royals. I'm Team William and Kate, and definitely not Team Sussex. So that's my entry point to most royal stories. America first, and then if I'm overthinking about England, I'm pro-royals, but only those royals, not the ones who came back to my country. How did we get stuck with them?
Well, don't send them back.
Anyway, but I think it's fine. Like, I'm not as offended by the speculation around Kate as some are, because she's the most famous person in the world. I mean, literally, she's one of the most famous people in the world. And so, of course, there's going to be intense interest in her. And they misled. You know, there was some misleading going on there. And certainly with the Photoshop photo fail, that's going to set a media firestorm. I've seen it enough times in my career to think, okay, yeah, that's what's going to happen every time, no matter who you are. And so now they did the right thing. They finally put her out to speak to it directly, as uncomfortable as that must have been. And I think people should start to behave better now that that's happened.
I mean, the stuff that got to me, actually, which I thought crossed a line, was stuff like Stephen Colbert's whole skit about the state of the Wales's marriage, based on a completely unfounded story, by the way. But putting that aside for one moment, when he did that, he knew she'd had major abdominal surgery, right? Which for any woman is going to be a tough thing. She's got three young kids and she's trying to recover from that without knowing that she had cancer as well. I just thought that was crossing a line. To start openly mocking this woman about the state of her marriage And then I thought that John Oliver saying, well, she may have been dead for 18 months as well. Again, you know, obviously he didn't know how bad it was, but he knew she'd had major surgery. It seems to me that you've got to have some lines in this, even if you're comedic.
Well, you know, the question for me is, why don't you actually ask the questions? You know, if you actually want answers to the questions, put on somebody like Piers Morgan. Put on somebody who actually knows something about the royal family and ask the question, is Kate okay? Is she alive? Is there a body double that the royal... Like, just ask the questions if you really want to know. They didn't really want to know.
No.
They just wanted to use it for clicks. And those two in particular do everything for clicks. They're not based in truth. They, at one point, just wanted to make people laugh. Now they just want applause for saying the right incendiary thing about Republicans or the royals or whatever their latest target is. But it's why they have absolutely no ratings anymore, Piers. And they're getting crushed by people like Gutfeld over at Fox regularly. They're not funny. Look at Kimmel doing the Academy Awards recently. He wasn't going for laughs. He knows his new business is just to be loved because he's the former fat guy who likes to make fun of Donald Trump. That'll get him enough tune-in each night to pay his fat salary. And that's enough for him. I mean, I remember the day when we actually tuned in for a couple of chuckles at the end of the evening. Those are long gone.
Well, you know what made me laugh was, I mean, about award shows in Hollywood. I mean, the greatest ever, obviously, was Ricky Gervais. But he was never allowed back after he ripped them all to pieces at the Golden Globes, knowing it was going to be his last appearance. It remains one of the great 10 minutes of television I've ever watched, mainly because it was quite obvious that so many Hollywood stars have zero, possibly less, sense of humour about themselves. They're fine dishing it out. They're often quite bitchy people, from my experience. But, whoa, if you turn the turrets on them, the lack of humour about themselves.
And the disgusting hypocrisy, Piers. It's like, I did a bit last week on after the Academy Awards where, you know, they've lectured us for how many years now about how they've become super racially sensitive and they believe in the race essentialism message of the left. And meanwhile, who do they get to host the Academy Awards? Mr. Blackface himself, Jimmy Kimmel, who's worn it so many times I've lost count. The full blackface with the bald head as Karl Malone speaking in Ebonics, in a fat suit as Oprah with the blackface darning socks. Sure, that's our champion. That's our guy, right? Jimmy Kimmel. Come on, we love it. And then you've got, you know, Robert De Niro out there saying what a disgusting character Donald Trump is and how he could never play him in a movie because there's absolutely nothing redeeming about him. Meanwhile, the guy played Al Capone, who's one of the most infamous mobsters ever, reportedly killed hundreds of people, not to mention the character he played in Goodfellas, who was based on an actual mobster who killed people and actually did stab that guy in the back of the car. That's fine. But Donald Trump, well, you know, there was the overturning of Roe thanks to his Supreme Court justices. So, no, it's just.
Well, it's also, to be honest, about Robert De Niro. I mean, I had the torture of interviewing him once. And I've been warned he just was a terrible guy to interview. He just hated doing them, to which I thought, well, why do them then? But he does a lot of interviews in which he invariably behaves like a dick to the journalists. And you're like, well, why do them? You don't have to do them. You're Robert De Niro, all right? And it's just, why do that?
He wants to get his message out. I mean, that's his main goal.
He wants to use the media.
Hear him say, how terrible Donald Trump is because he's still... thinks it's going to have an effect on you. I mean, what's happening right now, Piers, is they're putting Christine Blasey Ford out on a media tour because she has a book out. Now, who's Christine Blasey Ford? Your viewers may or may not remember her from a few years ago. She's the woman who accused our now sitting Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh of having attempted a sexual assault or actually committing one against her 30 years ago. She brought it up only when he was being confirmed to the Supreme Court. Turned into a complete circus. Why? Why does she get the book now? And this is years. This is back in 18 this happened. So now here we are in 24, and now she writes a book, and now she gets a media tour all over NPR and The View and CBS. Why? Because we're a couple months before an election. Because they're trying to remind people Republicans are rapists. Donald Trump appointed a rapist to the Supreme Court. That's what they want people to believe. and it's going to have absolutely no effect. Exactly the same amount of effect as Robert De Niro saying Trump is bad and he'll never play him.
Well, funny
but
enough,
in their minds, they still have power.
It will have effect, but not the way they think, because you've seen from the way that they've all gone after Trump with all these criminal charges, some of which are patently absurd and a massive overreach, that even Republicans who don't like Trump and wish they had another candidate have gravitated behind him because they see it as just a complete liberal witch hunt. Not to say that some of those charges may not have validity. I want to see all the evidence in a courtroom. But to chuck 91 charges at him, all that's happened, when you get down to paying off porn stars, it's like, really? And all that's happened is it's fueled his popularity. It turned him from someone really struggling to get any traction with Ron DeSantis miles ahead, and suddenly it all changes. You know, got to feel a bit for DeSantis. There he was, way ahead. And then, bang, in come the criminal charges against Trump. And the more they chucked at him, the more popular Trump got, to the extent that now I would say he's an overwhelming favourite to win back the White House. And if he does, the Liberals have only themselves to blame. It's been a concerted, deliberate act of self-harm. And I think all these court appearances, Trump will turn them because he knows television. He understands the power of a camera better than anyone in political history. He will use this to fuel his popularity even more as the martyr, the victim, the guy they're trying to stop be president. It's a great marketing campaign, isn't it, for him?
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's not just the criminal trials, it's the civil trials where they're trying to ruin and take away his business that he spent his entire life building. You know, we just had an appellate court in New York strike down the $450 million bond that he was going to have to post just to appeal that enormous judgment. Just to appeal, he had to post the actual judgment of $450 million against his business for an alleged victimless act of overstating some values of his buildings. No one was complaining except for the hardly partisan Democratic Attorney General. Anyway, more and more, these things are slightly getting resolved in Trump's favor, and I think ultimately most of them will. But at the same time, you've got, from the same playbook as Christine Blasey Ford and Robert De Niro, all that, you've got Stormy Daniels, the said porn star you just mentioned. She's on another media tour of her own, Pierce. It's so obvious. And she's talking about now how she sees her tryst with the president. He wasn't president at the time. It was 06. As like more of a Me Too situation, because even though she'd been a porn star for, and you can sexually assault a porn star, I'm not suggesting otherwise, but that she now sees it differently because of the words he was saying about how, whether she really liked her job and whether she wanted to keep the job, and maybe that was an implicit threat, like she was going to lose her porn star role unless she acted like a porn star in the
I interviewed Stormy last year. And that certainly wasn't what she was thinking at the time. Right, let's just be clear. Right, and she knows
it.
We know it. And I've got a lot of sympathy. I like her. She's a great character, but I agree. She's milking this, as you would expect, right? I mean, she wants her piece
of... And so is the media.
Yeah, she wants a bit of media attention while she can get it, and good luck to her. The other story that's really caught my eye that I know you've been revelling in, but this extraordinary situation with the Georgia prosecutor, Fannie Willis, who was having this relationship with one of the special prosecutors that she appointed, Nathan Wade. He's now obviously had to leave it, but talk about playing into Trump's hands again. And if you're Trump, you're rubbing your hands, aren't you? Let's take a look at before you comment, let's take a look at the clip here.
And not only that, all these local cases like Fannie. It's spelled Fanny. It's spelled Fanny like your ass, right, Fanny? But when she became DA, she decided to add a little French, a little fancy, Fannie, and, you know, Fannie and Mr. and Mrs. Wade.
Did you go to a cabin with Miss Willis ever?
Ever?
Ever.
No.
You've never gone to a cabin with Miss Willis?
No.
I mean, the thing is, Megan, nobody is going to remember what the hell that case is about. All they're going to remember is what Trump's been boasting about it and what he's been saying at the rallies, because it is laugh-out-loud hilarious. You couldn't make it up.
Trump gets the best enemies. I mean, you can't deny it. He It's not that he's lucky. It's that these weird people are attracted to ruining him. Mm. And then he winds up, you know, turning it around on them. So Fannie Willis had one thing to do. Just get the case to jury. Mm. Just get it in front of a jury. It's Atlanta. They're going to hate Trump. You're good. Just behave until you get it before a jury. And she couldn't do it. Mm. She had to have the affair with the prosecutor who she brought in, who she didn't even need. Then she had to go on lavish trips with this guy, Nathan Wade. He took her to Napa. They went to Belize, down to Aruba. I've said, I'm going to have an affair with Nathan Wade. You get to see the world. It's amazing. And he couldn't keep it in the pants. They had to get together. She had to let him lavish gifts on her. And sure enough, as all bad behavior eventually does, it got outed. Mm. And then adding insult to injury, it's very clear to me, lied about it on the stand. And so did he. Those two officers of the court took the stand at the hearing to decide whether they needed to be disqualified. And they lied under oath about their affair. They should be disbarred. Yeah. They should be disbarred. Never mind off this case.
I completely agree. You had a run-in with Trump, famously, at one of the debates when he was very rude about you. But you then interviewed him afterwards. What do you make of Trump? He's such a phenomenon. Good, bad and ugly. You know, I've known him a long time. You've known him a long time. I've had run-ins with him. You have too. I've had good times with him. I see good and bad in him. You know, it can vary. That could all happen in one day. What do you make of Trump, the person, the character?
I have a lot of complicated feelings on Trump, for all the obvious reasons. You know, there's a weird history between the two of us. So there's sort of my own personal reaction to him, and then there's my political analysis of him. Personally, I have mixed feelings about him. I see how charismatic he is, how dynamic he is, how strong he is, how he doesn't bow down to anybody, no matter how much is thrown at him, and I respect all of that. I wish that he would get over the debate question I asked him back in 2015. You know, he still raises it. He's raising it like a couple weeks ago. Mm. He raised it on the campaign trail. It's been 9 years. He's been president, right? It's like, I wish he would stop because it's just nonsense to focus on at this point in his life and in mine. But politically, I see him as the juggernaut he is. And I see him like forgive this. I'm not trying to say he's a superhero, but almost as a superhero who has the special gift of the more you fire at him, the bigger he gets.
Yeah.
You know, the larger he gets and the more empowered. That's him. That's what's happening. And the left doesn't see it. And there is, you know, Trump has almost become, it's not even about him anymore. No. It really is about saving America. It's about the before and after moment on the legal indictments of a former president, of the leading candidate to be the GOP nominee. The norms that have been crossed by the Democrats, we have to stop them, and we still can. We can restore normalcy in the country by saying, we didn't fall for that. We didn't allow that. So, you know, it's not just about Donald Trump anymore. And for me, I'm sure you've heard me talk about it, but I'm very, very passionate about the abuse we're heaping on children with all of these puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones and gender reassignments, quote unquote. And I would never vote for anybody who will support those things. So I don't care if it's Donald Trump or somebody else who's, you know, 10 times worse than Donald Trump. If they're going to vote the way I want them to on that issue, they've got my...
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Support.
Do you worry about what might happen in America if the attempt to stop Trump running, to actually maybe sling him in jail before the election, turned out to be successful?
Very much. Very much so. I just don't think that this is something we're easily going to be able to bounce back from. Like, you look at January 6th, and it was bad. January 6th was a terrible day. And I'm not somebody who would defend it or who downplays it. I don't think it was as bad as 9/11, as some of these kooks in the media on the left say, but it was a terrible day. It doesn't hold a candle to the left using our justice system at the federal and state level to stop a political opponent. That, I mean, that goes right to the fundamental core of who we are in America. And if we lose that, if somehow Trump is stopped because of the lawfare against him, we've genuinely lost a piece of our identity, of what makes us special, of one of the things that made us proud to be who we were. And it's a before and after moment. It was right at the indictment, but a conviction, and certainly one that led to him losing, will never be the same. There will be riots, Piers. There are going to be riots in America either way. Because if Donald Trump wins again, I shudder to think about what the left will do. And if he loses, the right and his core supporters are going to be so incensed at the way the justice system was used to stop a victory, I don't think they'll accept the presidency as legitimate, you know, if Biden wins under these circumstances. So already the Dems have shot themselves in the foot, even if they manage to eke out the W, which I agree does not look likely.
I mean, the state of the Democrat leadership is quite extraordinary, where you have a guy who's president who can barely string a sentence together or stay on his 2 feet. And then you have his vice president, Kamala Harris, who, you know, got the job through a grotesque, as many people believe, a grotesque act of tokenism. And it wasn't based on her actual political abilities. And that's been borne out by what's happened since. There was this clip of her, which I kind of thought summed her up. This is her in Puerto Rico. And she starts clapping to a song before one of her aides has to tell her it's a protest song against her and her administration. Let's take a look. Apparently, they were singing, "We want to know, Kamala, what did you come here for? We want to know what you think of the colony." And they had "Long Live Free Palestine and Haiti too." There she was cheering them on, completely oblivious. But it kind of summed up her ineffectiveness as a vice president. It's pretty unprecedented. And I was talking to Charlemagne. Charlemagne the God was the other day. I did his show, and he was saying she's particularly let down African Americans because she's delivered nothing for them.
And women, because she's about the worst representative we could have. What you're seeing in that clip is Kamala Harris being unburdened by what has been. That's her favorite saying.
And by the passage of time.
Yes, that's right. She's just, I mean, there's everything that comes out of her mouth is that vacuous. She's an air sandwich. And it's so frustrating to me. Maybe Charlemagne feels it as a black man. Yeah. I feel it as a woman. Just, this is our first rep close to the Oval. And this is what we got.
Yeah.
Like, this is it. We could do no better than this. And then people talk about if they get reelected, Joe Biden's either voluntarily going to step down or they're going to 25th Amendment him right out of the office, or he's going to die. Forgive me, but it's very possible if you look at the actuarial tables in addition to the man himself. And she's going to be our first female president? It cannot be. I'm sorry. She's too dumb. We just we cannot have somebody that dumb and untalented as our first female president. It's bad enough she's our first female vice president. So I feel what he's saying. I feel like she's a terrible representative. And yet, you know, we'd have a situation where they'd love to put a Kamala Harris cell phone or suit in the Smithsonian Museum over here because she was our first whatever. And yet they would never honor some Republican who attained this. The same way the Victoria and Albert Museum is not, they're classifying Margaret Thatcher as a villain now, putting her up there next to Hitler and Osama bin Laden. That's what they do to conservative
and
women.
Churchill.
But liberal women, right, and sure, but liberal women like Kamala Harris will be feted, she'll be vaunted, she'll be completely respected. Mm. Why again? Why? Because she happened to be black, she happened to be a woman, and she happened to be a leftist who slept with Willie Brown, a prominent Democrat out in California. I'm sorry, but we can do better.
What do you think of this? I've talked so much about this debate, but the whole kind of weird moment we are in the world where a lot of women are terrified of saying what they think a woman is for fear of being cancelled. And women's sport is being increasingly taken over by biological males who now identify as women, who are being allowed to just obliterate biological females, which are, of course, actual women. How do we get to this place? And why are people so scared of doing what you and I do, which is put our head over the parapet and call this bullshit out for what it is?
I think I do understand it because I used to be there. You know, back in 2018, I was using the pronouns, the preferred pronouns, and I was talking about this issue in a much different way than I do now because I wanted to be empathetic. I wanted to be understanding. I thought this was a group that had been historically bullied and was still okay to bully in the eyes of most, and I felt bad for them and wanted to be somebody who would stand up for someone who was weaker than I was. And then it seems like all hell broke loose on this issue. Like, that empathetic nature, especially held by females, because you mentioned the women, was exploited to a place that ironically wound up endangering us. Mm. We would wind up the ones who needed somebody to stand up for us and protect us, because what was really happening was men, biological men who are not well, who would like the world to believe that they're actually female, started to come into our spaces and our sports and attack us if we objected and say we were somehow bigoted if we just wanted our spaces to remain female and that they should be able to parade their literally naked anatomy. I don't know how far we can go on your show.
It's uncensored.
Around
away.
In front of us. Oh, they wanted to whip out their penises and have us not object and have us to like look at it and pretend it was like kind of a fake vagina. Mm. And then they wanted to come into our OBGYN offices and make us wait to get our actual vaginas checked out so they could take their fake vag in there, which is really not a vag at all, and get it inspected by a doctor as part of their weird sexual fantasy. That's what's happening. And then they started to go into our girls' sporting events, whether it's swimming up in Canada or soccer down here, field hockey out west, and girls started to get their teeth knocked out or permanent brain damage from the volleyball being spiked too hard in their faces. Mm. Or up in Canada where you have that lunatic swimming with 12-year-old girls, even though he's a 50-year-old man, because that's how he identifies and parents allow it. Mm. They allow it. And the dude is changing in the girls' locker room and still they say nothing. So the empathy has been exploited. The shaming has been amplified by these sick guys who are really, they're the ones, the activists at the heart of this movement. And if these women don't realize what's happening to their daughters and themselves and to our future as a result of their silence now and complicity, then they deserve the result they're going to get.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I also think there are many victims of this who are actual trans people who legitimately believe they were in the wrong body. They've gone through maybe years of transition and surgery, who just want a quiet life. They don't want any of this attention seeking. They don't want any of this attempt to infringe on women's rights. I know trans people who are just aghast at the way this debate has played out and how these intransigent activists are ripping women to pieces if they dare to say, hang on a second, what about our rights to fairness and equality that we fought 100 years to achieve? And so there are lots of people around the periphery of this debate who are victims of the thing. And it's trans people, it's women, it's lots of people. And there's a small group on the trans activist lobby area who are incredibly vocal and very unpleasant. And they destroy people.
Well, I agree with this. I have two of those people you just mentioned in my family, my extended family and my husband's family. And they're absolutely lovely. And they don't want to bother anybody.
No.
And these radical trans activists don't speak for them at all. And unfortunately, they get caught up in, you know, the new narratives because people don't know what to believe. But there is a particularly high percentage within the trans community of what I'm sure you've discussed it, are called autogynephiles, And that's not a genuinely trans man. That's not a man who, from the age of two, just believed he was born sort of in the wrong body and decides to transition and doesn't want to bother anybody, wants to pass if he can, doesn't want to exploit anybody, would never dream of joining a woman's sport and taking away her medals. But there's an unusually high percentage of autogynephiles now. And what that is a man who gets off on wearing women's clothing and looking like a woman.
Let me give you
an
example. I'll give
you
an example.
Sexual fetish.
Dylan Mulvaney is someone that I think is perpetrating that stunt because the way that Dylan...
I don't know. No, okay, let me take you on that because I agree with you. If you said Leah Thomas, the swimmer, 100%. But Dylan, I don't know that Dylan's getting off dressing like a woman. I think Dylan is exploiting... He's rolling in dough, Piers. He's
well,
got
no, I was
gonna
make the point. I was
going to
make the
combined.
Point. I was going to make the point. Dylan Mulvaney makes a mockery of women and is making millions doing it. I mean, it's like a double whammy of hell for women. This person who was identifying as a gay man until 2 years ago suddenly goes, I'm a woman, and by the way, I'm going to make you all look utterly ridiculous and weak and pathetic and simpering.
Yes.
And it's like, how dare you?
Also, like, one of the least attractive, quote, women I've ever seen. I'm sorry.
Megan, let me ask you something just before we end, which is you and I are both doing something right now, actually, which we weren't doing a few years ago because we were linear television people. We're now doing online stuff, and it's proving very popular. You and I got singled out in an American media website, did their top 100 people in the media, and we actually were in, you were number two, I think, and I was thrilled to be in the top 20, mainly because I saw so many conventional television people way down the list now, because the future, actually, particularly if you've got young kids, like my kids are in their 20s and a 12-year-old girl, they watch everything this way. They don't watch conventional television. How have you found this transition, for want of a better word, over our last debate? But how have you found the transition, and how's it going? It's clearly going incredibly well, but do you enjoy it?
I love it, and I'm so glad to see you in this space too, Piers. I mean, you may know, I don't know if your audience knows, but you are one of my inspirations for this new chapter of my life, not because you were on YouTube, but because... you were somebody who always seemed to say what you really thought. And, you know, my background was more in straight news where you don't do that. You know, you hold those cards close to the vest. But the more I got into primetime and then more commentary, the more I wanted to be like you. I wanted to say more fully how I actually felt, but it was scary. It was scary in the beginning. And then it's one of those things where the more you do it, the more natural it feels and the better you feel, the better you feel. I specifically said you and Tucker, both of whom I'm happy to count as friends, were inspos to me because you love you or hate you. You always just let your freak flag fly and I love you. And so now I guess the launch of the show in September of 20. So I'm going on year 4 of doing it and I've never been happier. It's the flip side of the coin that Douglas Murray, I know you know, talks about, where you could go through your life and never say anything controversial or take a controversial opinion on the hot button topics, stay away from the third rails, don't be the pointy part of the spear. And when you die in your bed years from now, think, I never offended anyone. And what good will that do?
You and
what
I will not be lying there saying that.
No. So I'm much happier on the path that we're on. It's the real me, and I've never felt more fulfilled or, I don't know if happy is the word, but just more, I've never had more meaning in my life. You know,
I'll tell you the word I would use. When I watch you,
I've
watched you for many years. Let me return the favor. I'm a massive fan of yours, as you know. But I think when I see you now, I just see somebody who's liberated from any restraints you may or may not have had or felt you had or whatever. You just feel like a completely free spirit. And I think we live in a world now where so many people are terrified of giving their opinions on things. They gravitate to people like you and me and others who do that because they wish they could do that and they wish they had the confidence to do that. But it is liberating. I find it completely liberating. And I watch you and I see the same in you.
Well, thank you. I'm glad that you're now, like, when you came over to YouTube, thought it was a great move. I've really enjoyed being in the YouTube podcast digital space. And I just think you and I are both at the same place where it's, I realize you have other relationships, but like, I cannot imagine having an editorial boss who tells me how I have to cover the news. Like, who could that possibly be? There's just, there's no one. And not a day goes by that I don't look around and think, I am so happy to be doing this on my own and to not have to be responsible for what this moron says or what that jerk does. It's just me. And I'll rise or fall on my own merit, right? They'll either love me or they'll hate me. It's fine. You know, I have enough viewers to sustain my life and my business, and that's really all I could ever ask for. It's a world of difference from the way I lived my first 17, 18 years in journalism, and I love it.
Well, it's great to have you on Uncensored, and come back soon. Lovely to see you, Megan.
I would love to. Great to see you too, Pierce. All the best.
Take care.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.